We're going to race each other, and we're going to race each other hard.
So I just thought about going out there and representing, you know, everyone, Team USA.
It is the responsibility of the players to live up to the standards in our regulations, the players' code of conduct, to go after winning every match.
Badminton does not mean goodminton this week. It's Friday on The Takeaway, which means it's time to look back at this week's big stories. We got medals and economic models joining us in the studios. Farai Chidea, journalist and fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics. Hey, Farai.
Hello.
Also in the studio, Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for our program and for New York Public Radio. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning.
Let's start right off with the unemployment rate. It inched upward, but 163,000 jobs were added to non-farm payrolls, according to the stats. So looking deep into the numbers, is this a flat line, a plateau move?
Or? I think it's a pretty good report. I mean,
really?
A lot of analysts were expecting around 100,000 jobs would be created, 100,000 people would find work, or even lower. There were some pretty pessimistic viewpoints. So this is, you know, this is a lot better than people expected. But yes, the unemployment report, the unemployment rate did increase slightly. So, you know, it kind of depends on where you stand on this issue is how you're going to interpret it. If you think the economy is doing bad and you don't like the way the current administration is running things, you're going to point to that number. And if you think that the current administration is doing a great job, you're going to say, look, we are seeing jobs growth even with everything going on around the world in the economy.
And, you know, let's talk signal-to-noise ratio here. I mean, on some level, you can expect 8.3% increase to mean that the Romney campaign is going to take advantage of that. But there's no individual month-to-month move that either the administration can take credit for or that we can attribute to some sort of broader negative trend. I mean, the economy isn't doing great right now.
Yeah, the economy is not doing great. This is not a great number. You want it to go in the other direction, not going up. And, you know, what we did see here, though, is that pretty much in every sector, you saw either job growth or you saw things kind of flatlining in terms of where jobs were actually getting hired. Everything from food services and drinking places to manufacturing to healthcare. The one area where you still consistently see job cuts is in the government, both at the federal, state, and local level. That says the government is cutting back on spending. You're seeing jobs being cut there, and that's pulling down actually job growth.
And that's directly a result of spending policies and
exactly.
Sort of anti-government sentiments within Congress and within state legislatures around the country.
Definitely playing a role in that and just lower taxes coming in. You don't have as much money to spend.
And bankruptcies in places like California. Farai Chidea, it's much nicer to focus on Gabby Douglas than it is the economy at this point. What do you make of the milestone yesterday? Man, that was some extraordinary performance at the Olympics.
Yeah, Gabby is really amazing, and I think that the whole women's team should be congratulated as well as Gabby Douglas. Obviously, there was this kerfuffle over her hair, which just shows how silly and ridiculous people can be. You know, this girl must be... I guesstimate she probably has an ounce of fat on her entire body, being that she's so tiny and can leap so high. And yet people are focused on, you know, her appearance sometimes rather than her performance.
Let's remind people, she won the all-around gold, Gabby Douglas did, in the Olympics gymnastics. And that competition was yesterday. And the women's team generally won the gold in the team competition. So a very good year for women's gymnastics.
Yeah, for the first time since, I believe, 1996, the women won the all-around. And Russia kind of melted in the all-around. They had several very poor showings. But Gabby herself, you know, is making a landmark, gold win for African-American women in gymnastics.
It's also an interesting story of cross-cultural cooperation, in a sense. She went away from home for a year and a half to Iowa to live with this suburban family from not The Simpsons, from Leave It to Beaver, it seems like. And what a great story of a whole community pulling together.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, one of the realities is that these very young athletes often have to make a choice about whether to lead a, quote, normal teenage life or to throw themselves wholeheartedly into training. And they're not the same level of training camps everywhere. So she had to travel to be with the coaching team that got her to where she is. And it worked.
And I just want to add, I think that, you know, sort of the surprise winner maybe in these Olympics, especially at the gymnastics arena, are the parents. I mean, when you sort of see the expressions on whether it's Gabby Douglas's parents parents, on her mom's face, or on the face of Ali Reisman's parents and sort of their interaction with it. I mean, you realize the commitment that they have to put into it to send their daughter, to send her daughter to Iowa to train like this. You really sort of feel it so emotionally when you watch them, how emotionally connected they are to what's happening. And I think that's just a great moment.
All
that's
the great parents. So, you can add Michael Phelps' mom to the start. I mean, they should all get like their own TV show.
And Ryan Lochte's mom, who's exactly. been very talkative lately.
It's been amazing. Joining us now, Rob Brunby, correspondent for the BBC, following the Olympics broadly. You've been in and out of the pool there, Rob. And man, the shuttlecock politics has been pretty intense over there at the Olympics.
It has indeed, yes. That occupied our time a fair bit earlier in this week. That grumbling scandal, really, about the Chinese, Indonesian and South Korean badminton players who were seen very clearly on the TV screens and to the people in the audience trying to fail. They said it was within the rules, but they were disqualified, sent home. Their coaches apologised and they said their dreams had been shattered. They were only playing the system.
And Rob Brunby, what do you look forward to next week? I mean, the athletics begins. Those are the sort of classic Olympic events. I gather like 260,000 people turned out today in London.
It's a huge, the stadium is absolutely crammed, and so is the concourse around it. I saw queues of 100, 200 metres long to go into the souvenir shop as we came in here. It really has taken London by storm, this, though we're hearing the rest of the city has been somewhat abandoned. People are saying people just didn't turn up to the rest of the city. So all the attention is here, big events expected. You really get the sense that we have a countdown now to that 100 metre final and the expectations surrounding Usain Bolt, but we've got big clashes ahead tonight in the stadium, not least the 10,000 metres women's final, where we're going to see the Ethiopian Tirunesh Dibaba against the challenger from the last time round, and also Vivienne Cherikot. Sorry, I was looking for her name there. And obviously, your woman, Hylias Fountain, is doing very well in the long jump in front, the high jump in front of me as I speak to you now. Jessica Innes, Britain's great hope, has just crashed out of the high jump after a stunning performance in the 100-meter hurdle. So all to play for, great excitement. And this is the day this stadium has really come to life.
Rob Brunby, correspondent for the BBC, who gets a gold medal in Olympic athletic pronouncers this morning. Thanks, Rob. Farai Chidea, what do you make of the other international competition this morning? Mitt Romney attempting to compete with the international media and his own missteps in his foreign trip coming back to the U.S.?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm sure that you've talked many times about the headlines you got in London, like Mitt the Twit. But I think what's more important, many people, including, you know, General Colin Powell, have criticized Mitt Romney for choosing a foreign policy team that's just not up to snuff. And thus, you know, getting bad advice on his choice of words and his choice of battles, you know. I mean, sort of fighting the battle, going back to the Cold War and saying Russia is one of our biggest enemies, et cetera, et cetera. But just to loop back around to the beginning of our conversation, I think that the jobs numbers conversation should be interesting and complicated because in some ways this jobs report, it does show one thing that we have to do is decouple the unemployment number, which is affected by all these seasonal adjustments, right, affected by people dropping out of the labor force, from job creation. So I think that Mitt Romney will be able to pivot from his international gaffes to the jobs report. But I think that actually President Obama will also be able to make some claims about the jobs report. And that will, I mean, Americans, when faced with international issues versus domestic, always go domestic. And I think that whatever Mitt Romney has done on the international stage in Israel and the UK will be overshadowed by a return to the economic agenda.
One last piece on the economic agenda, Charlie Herman. Knight Capital, the market maker in the New York Stock Exchange, has a computer glitch. It causes volatility, $440 million loss.
Is that going to play? In 45 minutes. Yeah, I mean, basically, they lost more money than they made in the second quarter of this year. And there's really a lot of speculation, especially amongst a lot of financial journalists, some reports that they may be putting themselves up for sale, that they're looking for partners to come in and either purchase them, or in the worst case scenario, they themselves would file for bankruptcy and then someone someone could come in and sort of buy their assets. You know, this is this shows you that kind of the way things are traded now, this high-frequency trading, these really fast computer trading, right, that just the slightest glitch can cause these problems. And I think it's a bit of a reminder, too, that for the average investor who's maybe looking to get into the market, you know, this is not a – this is a big league. And, you know, if you're just one individual, you're playing kind of with the big boys.
You need more than a laptop, that's for sure.
But for sure.
Yeah, we're going to have to go under a minute here. Farai Chidea, thanks so much. Journalist and fellow at Harvard University's Institute of Politics, Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for our program and for New York Public Radio. $440 million in 45 minutes. You can't even do that in Vegas. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can give us your Follow Friday takeaways from the week that we've just had or the week ahead at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to our website, thetakeaway.org. Lots of lively conversations going on. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.